you're listening to the oneofus.net podcast network. oneofus.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to oneofus.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
Maxi lad, I bet you never wondered what it'd be like to have two women on a One of Us review, but now ye know.
They need to spill their beans.
Watch them spill their beans.
That was the best line of the entire movie.
Oh yeah, I mean, so good they used it in the trailer. Mm-hmm. Hey everybody, we're talking about The Lighthouse. We got a chance to see this over the weekend, believe it or not. It's one of those ones where it's only playing in like select theaters in our area, but thankfully we found one, well, 3 hours away from us.
We had to drive to Nashville to go see it, but it was worth it. So.
Yeah. Now, these lucky people here got to see it easily at their convenience, it seems like. Because we got Rose over here. How you doing?
Hello.
Hey, and then we got Maxie over here.
What's up?
And then, hey, like you heard over here, my wife.
Hello.
Lexi.
My bad.
So who here has seen The Witch before this one?
I have not.
Oh, okay, we got a fresh one here. So, we got a fresh Land Rover in this review.
Yeah, I love The Witch, actually. It's also one of the few movies where I actually had to walk out briefly, because I got scared during, like, one of the scenes. I know it sounds like such a wuss thing, but, like, some of those scenes got me. I was just like, oh my gosh, I gotta step out for a second, but...
Oh, yeah, no, one of my friends actually saw the premiere at Sundance when he went that year, and he came out, like, traumatized. He took a breather for a second. He's like, hold on, guys, I need to take a break.
So I'm definitely not going to watch it now, because I can't handle most horror movies.
Well, see,
I was thinking about it, but, like, did the trailer for Midsommar, like, scared the crap out of me.
Well, it's unfortunately, Midsommar is not that scary.
So. I thought it was pretty boring. It's okay, but that's just my personal opinion.
That's just us. But,
trailer was creepy, though.
Well, that's the thing with The Witch and this film here, also done by Robert Eggers, who did that film, is that his style of horror is very atmospheric. Like, he's not big for, like, jump scares or scare... Well, I mean, he has some scary monster images and that stuff, too, but he's very much about the setting being just as scary as what's actually happening in the setting.
And what I personally love about the way he creates a lot of his films is that he plays on the fears of, like, people from, like, whatever time period he's placing in. For instance, The Witch... is like the fears of the Puritans about witches, and then The Lighthouse is like the fears of sailors or people that work at like lighthouses and things like that, like the fear of the sea monsters or whatever.
Yeah, but we should actually explain what this movie's about for the people not familiar. So, Rose, why don't you give it a shot here? What's the basic summary for this?
It is two lighthouse keepers in sometime the late 1800s or very early 1900s out in the middle of absolutely nowhere. This desolate rock that it's implied. It's borderline pointless to even be there. It's so far in the middle of nowhere that ships don't even pass by it. And you have Willem Dafoe as the old salt, longtime caretaker, and his new apprentice, protege, whatever, Robert Pattinson, who gets dropped off by the company at the beginning of the movie, who's there to kind of just do some janitorial work and help with the maintenance of the lighthouse.
He's going to swab the decks and clean the shingles.
Yeah, and things go crazy.
Yeah, yeah, like, that's the thing that I really love. Like, just to say first things off what I like about this movie... Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe are both fantastic in this
movie.
Oh,
yeah.
Like, especially, I think Willem Dafoe, you know, I don't like to just bandy this on too much, but I think he actually is legitimately Oscar-worthy for this role.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
Yeah, I think both of them are, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Because that's the thing where Willem Dafoe is really becoming a character. Like, he is, like, totally transformed into this salty sea captain guy because, you know, all the lines like that come from him kind of thing.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
But Robert Pattinson is doing a pretty good job doing that old kind of, like, 19th century New England accent kind of thing. Like, hey, y'all, I can't even do it. I am not good at New England accents. But, you know that old-timey kind of accent, like that.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, but a little bit more natural vibe with it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm just here to work here, I is.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, you do sympathize with him overall, and the idea that he's just a work-for-hire dude. Like, he's literally doing this job because he's worked everything up to this point. So he's like, all right, lighthouse keeper. That's something on my list I haven't done yet.
Sort of a thankless job a little bit.
It kind of is, because basically they're just yeah, like you said, they're just trapped on this rock for a month, and they all they do is just clean, repair stuff, look for a boat, which none ever show up, and then just repeat, pretty much.
Like Groundhog's Day.
It's almost a little, it's a little slice of hell that they're living in, pretty much.
There's not even any clean water to drink. It's just like vodka. Oh, yeah. That's it.
Oh, yeah, and which is unfortunate because Robert Pattinson doesn't like to drink, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing where... what's interesting about this movie is the tone that it's going for, where it's trying to be very, you know, it's psychological horror, for sure. Like, you know, in the way that it's being presented. Because throughout the movie, there's hints of stuff that I don't want to even fully spoil for anyone who hasn't seen it yet, kind of thing. But it's one of the things where it could be supernatural, but it very well could just all be in their heads about what's actually happening here.
It's sort of like The Witch a little bit as well, I feel like. The Witch had similar... themes there. Where,
although The Witch made it pretty clear from the get-go that there is a witch in this movie.
True. I guess in this one it's a little bit, you know, you don't know for sure. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, which, I mean, I will say that that's, if I had any minor criticisms of this, that's it is a little bit of that towing the line kind of thing where it's like, yeah, this is kind of cool, but I feel like it takes a very long time for it to cement what it's going for with that. And even by the end, it could all just be interpretive. Like, you know, kind of the same way the Babadook is interpretive. It's very much going for that element.
Well, almost. It's funny because we got out of theater and we were both debating on, like, what we both thought about. And I'm like, I think it's this. And you're like, I think it's this. And we're just kind of like, I don't know who's right, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but what do you think, Rose?
I kind of felt the same way. I mean, most people that I've talked to that have also seen it, everyone seems to have the consensus that this isn't a movie you can have a consensus on. As soon as it's over, you got to sit and think about it. I mean, I certainly did, but any movie like that I can't definitively come to, you know, an answer about always gets a pass from me.
Well, fair enough. What do you think, Max?
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. It was like, there's one thing I kind of think happened, and then there's another thing that I really hope happened instead of what I think happened.
Oh, man. There's a lot of that. Because they have some flashes of some insane imagery. You're like, wait, so is that the real thing that's happening? Or is that the imaginary thing that's happening?
Well,
or
some of the imagery in this movie is honestly quite beautiful and also horrifying at the same time, like, honestly.
Yeah, because it's shot like almost like an old silent movie, where it's this stark black and white effect kind of thing, all shot on a 4:3 ratio, which seems to be the trend now for art films, you know?
But it's a great trend. I think it's great it's coming back.
Oh, yeah, it's great looking, because it's so drenched in shadows throughout this movie.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, there's certain shots where it's literally just, like, the outline of someone's head in this black space, and it's just menacing throughout the entire thing.
Yeah, it kind of feels like the whole, like it feels the air of dread, basically.
Yeah. No, but I mean, there's a lot of great stuff to praise for this movie for that. I mean, the production design is really well done. There's this seagull that keeps messing with Robert Pattinson the entire time.
Now I'm scared of seagulls. Not that I haven't already been scared of seagulls, because I've lived around seagulls. They are menaces. It's true. It is true. Just saying. They can be really annoying.
Yeah, and there's like weird theories about the seagull, too. Like, we can't go into it because of spoilers, but there's like the seagull could possibly be something else besides just a seagull.
And I love that.
It goes for everything in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff. It's just so interpretive. And I think one of the great things that is interesting about this is the dynamic between Dafoe and Pattinson's characters. Because, you know, they seem to be just two guys who are just working a job together. But it becomes very clear this weird, deep-seated distrust they have. Or at least for definitely on one side of the other person kind of thing. But it's this weird menace. You just never know who is telling the truth about whatever they're doing. And I think that is kind of the point. It's just like, you can't ever believe anything these people say to each other.
They're both equally flawed.
Oh, yeah.
And it's amazing to see them, like, work off each other. And apparently, both Robert Pattinson and Willem Dafoe had kind of very different acting styles, honestly, when they went into this. Like, Robert Pattinson's a bit more of a, I guess, an improv guy. He doesn't like to rehearse as often, whereas Willem Dafoe comes from a theater background, so he wants to, like, rehearse until he gets it down. Mm-hmm. And so apparently that, like, some of the actual, like, you know, professional tension kind of, like, made it in there a little bit, you know? And I thought it was great. You know, they both did an amazing job, so.
Yeah. No, but what do you guys think? Any other points you want to bring up, especially?
Going back to the lighting real quick, it felt so much like almost a Robert Aldrich movie or something, where it really felt like I was watching a movie from the 50s or early 60s at points.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, even recently we saw, I think, what was it, the Cabinet of Dr. Caligari? And while it's not as abstract as that, it's definitely got a lot of the stylings of that kind of dread and style of old silent movies kind of thing. And it's really, really cool to look at all the way through. Like, honestly, I would also say if it does compete for any Oscar stuff, I would say it's eligible for cinematography because it's really one of the better rookie movies I saw this year.
Yeah, definitely.
No, but what are the points you thought, Max, though?
Yeah, apparently, I was listening to an interview. Apparently, most of the filming took place like on an actual island that was like dank and cold and weird, and they just had to do a little bit of extra like extra effects, like pour some water on them at certain points. But apparently, like they actually had a real tough time filming the whole thing because it was all cold and wet.
Oh, well, I mean, it's the middle of Nova Scotia, so yeah, it's just a like you said, it's the middle of nowhere that they filmed.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard to tell when you're watching. Is like, is this actual? Are these practical effects, or is it something they kind of made up? But most of it seems like, from what they've said, most of it was actually just what was happening in the area at the time.
Oh yeah, and can you believe it that this movie only cost like just under $4 million to make?
Wow. I can see that.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, which, I mean, obviously huge profits because it's already turned a profit off of the box office gross it's at so far.
Nice.
Which is pretty cool. But, so
there's no Terminator Dark Fate right now, then.
Nothing no, is, thank God. No, this is not a colossal
bomb. Which, also funny, too, that thinking about how little it costs, this maybe had the shortest end credit sequence I've ever seen in a movie for, like, the last 3 years. Like, literally, it was one short song and it was over. I'm like, oh. I guess I get to go home now. I was surprised. But yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, because honestly, there is only two, maybe three people in this whole movie. I won't say exactly what, but some of the imagery that you see, there's at least one other person that shows up in it. And when they show up, it's really freaky.
Oh my gosh, yeah. When it did kind of get into like some of the, I guess, more spooky elements, it was pretty, it was pretty terrifying on a few occasions. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was like the only thing that really like scared me in the movie is like when that thing happened, I was like, oh my God.
Well, so that actually brings up a good point. So like when you say the only thing that scared you, like did you feel that this movie was fully scary or more just foreboding kind of thing? Because I mean, everyone registers horror and scares differently. But I mean, what do you guys think?
I think it ramped up from foreboding to scary. I have a pretty high threshold for scary myself in movies.
Yeah.
And there were a couple moments in this one where it definitely pushed it over the line. And I either had to look away from the screen briefly or just kind of like grip my armrest and go, it's just a movie. It's fine.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And for me, like I have a very low threshold on horror, and like I get scared easily, but I wasn't scared at all really in this movie because I came in expecting it to be like Lovecraftian, so I kind of expected crazy and weirdness. So when that was happening, I was like, oh yeah, sweet, that's what I came here for.
Very Lovecraftian, and that's what I've been saying about it to people online, is just that it's like the best Lovecraft adaptation based on nothing that he ever actually wrote.
Yeah, and the trailer did a fantastic job too. Like I really try not to watch many trailers because it spoils the entire movie. But the trailer for this movie, it was just like, it was like that brrrr, and then like some stuff about spilling your beans and like some cool atmosphere stuff. And it didn't spoil anything. The trailer like was perfect.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that first trailer was great for that.
The imagery and the sense of madness and how much that madness just builds to the point that you yourself as the audience member is just you lose all sense of time and space watching this thing.
I know, it's like, how long have you been reviewing this movie? 2 minutes? 4 years?
There's a couple points where I was just like, I was expecting some crazy stuff to happen, but then like I could feel like my eyes going like wide open. I was like, whoa. Like I said, it wasn't like scary, it was just like, oh my God.
Yeah, and I will say just one more point, too, that for anyone who's wanting to watch this movie, just be prepared because, you know, it's Robert Eggers and he loves doing historically accurate stuff. The dialogue in this movie is very much in the style of old, like, 18th, 19th century English. So get a little, you know, just tune your ear a little bit while you're starting to watch this. Just be prepared to have some moments you're like, I think I know what they're talking about. I don't know all the words, but I get the gist of it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like to, I actually recommend definitely seeing this in theaters because I think it's the best experience, but if you want to see it again, or if you can't make it to the theater, if you do watch it at home, I think watching with subtitles might actually be the best option, just in case you can't like catch all of like the all the words and stuff. Because like some of the words are definitely older words that you don't really hear anymore, or like just the dialogue is very old, basically.
Well, now I know what a wiki is outside of a page in Wikipedia.
Look that up.
Yeah, but there are some times when Willem Dafoe's talking, especially with that sea salty accent he's got, where he's just like,
yeah, there was one scene, I think it was one of the dinner scenes, where I literally could not understand what he was saying, but it made me wonder if that was on purpose, because that was at a point in the movie where things were, you know, really starting to get weird, and so I'm like, are they doing this? Is he just babbling and we're not really supposed to recognize that?
Yeah, like, I'm pretty good at, like, understanding accents. So I could understand every word, but I was like, this is so weird. Like, how did he learn how to speak like this?
Oh, well, apparently
it must have taken a lot of practice.
Yeah, they studied extensively writing the script. Like, they took old records from Lighthouse journals and Herman Melville writings and that stuff to try and get it as period accurate as possible.
Yeah, that's one thing I love about Robert Eggers is he really goes all out in trying to get his films as historically accurate as possible. Like, for instance, like, the actual, like, lighthouse light and stuff is, like, based on, like, real lighthouse, you know, real lighthouses, and the horn is kind of, like, a mix of, like, actual real horn sounds from certain lighthouses and things like that. So he definitely still was able to create his own unique lighthouse for it, but he based it all off these real lighthouses in history.
No, I think it worked really, really well for the setting and that stuff. So, I mean, I think that's mostly what we got to say about this movie without going too far into depth. So why don't we wind on the final thoughts then? Rose, why don't you start us off?
I think this is a absolutely wonderful movie. It kicked Rocket Man out of my favorite movie of the year.
Aww. I love that movie.
I would very much like to see it again, and it's a very high recommend.
All right, what's your arbitrary rating?
10 eyeless seagulls out of 10.
Yeah, that's just gosh dang seagulls throughout this movie. Max, what do you think?
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. I'm still not sure if like Parasite is my favorite movie of the year or this movie. It's like it's real close between the two. But I thought it was great. I thought the beginning was a little bit slow, but eventually it paid off. And I'm only like the first 20 minutes. This was a long ass movie.
Which is funny because it's not actually that long. It's only about an hour 40 or 50 minutes. So.
Oh really? I felt like it was a long ass movie then.
I think it's just that by that point you get to the end, you're so worn out from all the tension. You're just like, oh my gosh, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but no, I wanted a little bit more weirdness, even though this was already plenty weird. I just expected it to go like full throttle Lovecraftian the whole movie. But I think it's definitely tied for my favorite movie of the year. So I'd give it a 9.5 out of 10 mustaches on Edward Cullen.
That was quite a soup strainer he had on him.
Yeah. That was a nice mustache.
Right? I would never guess that Robert Pattinson unless I saw him up close, you know?
Yeah.
Lexi, what do you think?
Okay, so, well, this was definitely in my top, like, five films of the year. Like, along with Parasite, which we also saw this weekend. It's right up there, honestly. Like, I mean, they're both very different films, but they're also both really, really good. I can't really say which one's quite my favorite. They're kind of tied, I would say. But, you know, just for, you know, the atmosphere in this film was wonderful and terrifying. And, you know, and I love the Lovecraftian themes that were in it. And just the idea of, like, you don't quite know what's real and what, you know, and what's not real. And I love that. And I love that at the end of the film, like, we can just kind of, like, debate and kind of be like, what was that, like, about? Like, what, you know, what did this all mean, you know? There's so much to interpret from it. And I love films that can go deeper than just kind of being like, oh, this is just entertaining. You know, it's like, it was entertaining, but it was also, it had, you know, it was one of those you can chew on a little bit, you know? So, and, you know, and of course the acting was great, hands down. I would love to see some Oscar nods for this film, honestly, along with some nominations from Willem Dafoe and Robert Pattinson, honestly. It'd be a shame if they didn't get nominated for anything. So I think I'd give this a, probably 10 out of 10 horn bellows. Or whatever. Yeah, that terrifying, like, horn, just, like, so eerie.
And thankfully people reacted to it in the movie itself, because Robert Pattinson was just like, stop it!
I wasn't sure for the first, like, half of the movie. I was like, is that actually coming? Until that happened, I was like, is that coming out of the lighthouse, or is that just in our imaginations?
That would be hilarious if it wasn't actually there. You know, and that's the thing where I do admit that I wasn't as in love with it when I came out of this movie. I've warmed up to it a little bit, but that also is to say, we literally, like, saw this right after we saw Parasite, and that movie floored me. Like, absolutely, like, that is my single favorite movie this year. So this one maybe suffered a little bit from being on the coattails of that, but I still think it's a very well-done movie. I think it's very atmospheric, like we said. It's very well produced. It's very well made. Especially, again, for being such a small-budget film, for it to have so many spectacular images throughout it is really, really cool. I... yeah, again, I just say it does pick, you know, it takes a little bit of time for it to pick up at some point because it's a lot of watching Robert Pattinson wheelbarrow coal over to a furnace and watching them do stuff for dinner and that such. Definitely one of the most uncomfortable arguments over cooking I've ever seen, too, which was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Hark.
Oh! But there's, and that's the thing, like, there are a lot of sequences, because I know Max mentioned this in his theater, and we actually kind of saw this in ours, too, where people will react very differently based on how they experience this type of horror film, because we did, you know, even I giggled a little bit at some points, because they're so over the top in some of the really crazy parts of this movie. But it's not like it's meant to not work, because it does work. It's just one of those, like, it's so intense or so crazy that you have to, like, nervously chuckle, just like, okay, what just happened, kind of thing. So that might stifle, you know, that stifle your, I can't even think of the word. It's a little bit of a hindrance to that. And I will say, I kind of also wished it did push a little bit more to the weird, like you were saying, Max, where I kept waiting for that one moment, and it really only came at the very end when you realize what's actually happening, or maybe it isn't happening. Who knows? Kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, but there were a couple, like, weird points throughout the thing, like, that just seemed like hallucinations or maybe not hallucinations. But, yeah, I wanted, like, a little more of that.
Yeah. So I'm going to give this 8 out of 10 very uncomfortable sequences of watching sailors please themselves.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of jerking off in this movie.
Should we do, like, a short, like, spoiler discussion since there's still, like, a lot to talk about, like, actually spoiler-wise?
Well, yeah, so why don't we'll say this. Stop right now, and then for anyone who hasn't seen it, go see it, and we'll give you a few spoilerish details because there's a few mysteries in here that we have to speculate on what it actually meant for sure. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, why don't you start us off, Max? What's something you wanted to bring up?
Yeah, well, I was listening to something, like, people were saying that maybe the seagull was actually, like, because it's supposed to be, like, the soul of a sailor. Somebody was saying that maybe the seagull was, like, the dude's old apprentice, and he was, like, pecking at him, trying to, like, warn him to, like, get the fuck out of there.
Well, and also because we do find the sailor's, that guy's head later on in the film, and that I think, did that one have his eyes missing too, or, I mean, maybe it did.
I think so, yeah, sure. Just one.
Yeah, so maybe that is. Nah, maybe
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, but there's a lot of stuff like that. You're just like, I'm not, like, maybe that's what that means? It's full of, it's a lot of interpretation. Like, you know, you decide what this meant for you kind of thing. Because, like, there's some crazy shots in here that are stylized like old paintings. Like that one where Willem Dafoe is, like, grabbing his arm and is, like, staring at him with, like, headlight beams.
That was so
kind of
creepy.
Thing.
Yeah. I kind of love that scene, though, because I was just like, this is, like, weird, creepy art, and I love it. Like, I'm just like, it felt kind of very Greek, I guess, is another way.
Oh, very much
like
so.
Some things felt that
there's
way.
A lot of Greek imagery throughout this, especially the ending for Robert Pattinson's like, oh, it's Prometheus.
Yeah,
so.
This a lot of people have interpreted this as kind of a loose retelling of the story of both Prometheus and Proteus. And yeah, it kind of fits if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah. I kind of like that. I think that's great.
So also a speculation, is the stuff with the octopus and the whole Cthulhu thing actually happening? Or is that all interpretation and all just Robert Pattinson going crazy?
I hope so.
That's what I hope so.
That's what I was saying. Like, I feel like it was all in his head by the end, but, like, I really hope all of it was real.
Yeah, because, like, we got out of the theater, and Justin was just like, oh, no, that was actually happening. And I'm like, no, I think that was just him going crazy, and we're just kind of, like, both debating, like, what is real with that, you know?
Yeah, because that's the thing. It's like, not everything is overt, but there's a few things where I'm like, okay, so this stuff could all be hallucination, but some of these things, it would be weird if it wasn't a hallucination.
Right.
Or it was a hallucination, you know? Yeah. So it's just like, okay, wait a minute. What does that mean? But I will say, if this is interpretation, wow, Robert Pattinson has some interesting ideas of what mermaid vagina looks like.
I actually read about the mermaid stuff. This is really weird. But so apparently back before the Victorian era, mermaids actually didn't used to be depicted as the single tail. In fact, you actually see this on a Starbucks cup where it's like they got like the weird two tails.
Oh yeah,
they actually originally used to be portrayed that way because the private part's gotta go somewhere because sailors want to be able to bang
a mermaid. Oh no, a mermaid is coming towards us. I hope it doesn't come on the deck.
it's a bit creepy and weird, but it's how it sort of was, and sailors are going crazy and lusting for women at that point, even sea creature women, and so. That's why they kind of had that one very weird scene in there, and I was just like, this is weird, but okay, I guess he's just going crazy.
Oh my goodness.
That was kind of funny when like the mermaid showed up, like washed up on shore or whatever. First of all, I wasn't sure if that was real or not either.
Yeah.
But he wasn't going to tell Willem Dafoe anyway because he'd think he's going crazy.
Yeah, because the whole thing, they're like, oh yeah, my previous apprentice talked about mermaids and sea creatures and all kinds of nonsense, you know? Yeah.
Oh, but like when she like... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say he made a... Like the director made a good choice of putting that in just because everything was like bleak, and then you kind of feel like Robert Pattinson when he's like, oh my god, there's a boob. It's like, I've been waiting this whole movie, and we've been by ourselves the whole movie.
That'd be funny if they showed the boob first before the face, just like, oh, that's my dream. Oh, right, it's a woman.
Well, and I love that, like, you know, when she sits up and then she just like starts like screeching, like, oh, the like siren screech. I was just like, that was terrifying. I was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, that was
what I said in the... Oh, sorry.
That was one of the points for me where I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
Yeah, that was what I said in the review. That was the one moment that actually scared me. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Same. I was just like, oh my gosh, she's going to eat his face or something. I don't know what's going
it's
on.
It's amazing how unerotic that guy was. Like, oh, he's feeling down her body. And then he sees the gills. You're just like, oh, wait. That was pretty intense. But yeah, I mean, and man, I love the fact that if it is all in his head, that Willem Dafoe is the biggest a-hole in the world. Because he's just gaslighting Robert Pattinson so much throughout this movie.
Well,
there was a part where Willem Dafoe's chasing him with an axe, and then he like turns it around on him. He's like, "No, you were chasing me with the axe."
Yeah, yeah. Like he's the one that smashed up the boat, and he's like, "Why'd you go out there and smash up that boat, boy?" It's like, "What? No, you did that."
Yeah. So who was a bigger monster, the mermaids, the sea creatures, or Willem Dafoe?
Always Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't know why I interpreted like the scene where he's like that very art scene where Willem Dafoe's like staring at him with like the light coming out of his face. I don't know why for some reason that made me immediately think gaslighting. I'm like, he's gaslighting him. He's obsessed with like the lighthouse and everything. I'm like,
Yeah. Well, especially that bit when they show him looking like the weird like sea creature Ursula thing at the very end too. You're just like, what in the frick was that all about?
I guess that feels like the Proteus god sort of, you know, theory. You know, him like Robert Pattinson being Prometheus and the other one being like the sea god and stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. No, definitely. And I gotta just ask one thing too before we wind down, like making the jokes of that, what do you think was the funniest part in this whole movie? Because we made a bunch of jokes about pretty much almost anything Willem Dafoe says in this movie is either menacing or hilarious, and sometimes equal measures throughout this.
My point would go to Dafoe's introduction, like the kind of two points to his introduction, because technically the first time that we see him is, you know, right after Robert Pattinson gets dropped off and he puts that pipe in his mouth, and for some reason that made me and the guy I was seeing with just kind of crack up just how comical of a gesture that was and how silly Dafoe looked. But then the first time we get to see or hear him really do anything is when, you know, Pattinson is checking out the bedroom and the quarters for the first time, and you hear this water sound, and this pipe is right in the middle of the screen, so you think it's leaking, and then, no, you find out it's Dafoe pissing in a bucket.
Yeah, and then Robert Pattinson's, like, pissing in the bucket when it's, like, floating in the middle of the water, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was crazy. And then all the... at one point, Robert Pattinson's having his meltdown. It's like, I can't take your gosh dang fart no more.
That was so great.
Oh, but I think the part that broke me the most, just because I had no idea what was happening, was when he breaks Willem Dafoe and makes him bark like a dog the whole time. Yeah. You're just like, what is going on in this movie?
That was weird.
Well, I love the bit that this is one that made me crack up. It's like when like Willem Dafoe like starts ranting at him and like kind of going on about, you know, just like, just all these different things. It's hard to kind of tell exactly what he's saying because he just keeps rambling. And it starts off when he's just like, well, why don't you like my cooking? It's like, you don't like my cooking? And then Robert Pattinson's like in a corner just like, And at the end, he's just like, fine, I like your lobster. My gosh.
You like my lobster, didn't you? I saw you eat it.
This movie, like, as scary as it is very memeable, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
The other...
Yeah, that was my favorite part, too. Or my the funniest part, I mean. Yeah, it was when he was just like, oh, fine, I like your cooking.
Probably the other funniest part is when they're just shit-faced drunk and, like, Robert Pattinson starts, like, beatboxing or whatever noises he was making.
Oh, right. They had some very drunken antics in this movie. Although it stopped getting, it got a lot less funny once they started drinking turpentine. I'm just like, okay, that is lethal.
Oh, so gross.
I did like when they just started like beating each other up for no reason.
Yeah, like it was that weird where they were like kind of this weird homoerotic bit dancing with each other, and they look at each other like, oh no, now we gotta start fighting.
We can't. They have those thoughts. Uh-uh.
Oh no, no sir, I'm not that desperate yet.
Get that mermaid outside.
I gotta find me some mermaid titties before I go there.
Yeah, and then they're like wrestling on the ground, and like he turned into mermaid for a second. I was like, what? Oh no, is it really getting homoerotic?
Yeah, that was bizarre. I'm like, this is either gonna end with him killing him or making out with him, and it actually didn't end up with either. So
yeah,
first one, then the other.
Yeah. which order is the question?
Mm.
Oh my gosh.
The part that like really like kind of signaled like that Robert Pattinson was starting to like lose it was he was like he had to take those like two bowls of shit off the cliff and then he threw them off and then it like splashed back in his face and he's like, ah!
Oh, that was hilarious. I was like, oh my gosh, like,
oh no.
At that point I just had to go, what did you expect would happen? Like the smart thing to do would have been to, you know, kind of lean over the cliff and just gently tap it or something. Mm-hmm. But no, the wind was blowing in his face. I'm like, oh no, baby, what is you doing?
It seemed like he had such a long hike to get to the end of the cliff to dump him. Yeah. That scream was amazing though. He's just like, bro.
I gotta ask though, one last thing before we end the review. What's inside the light? You know? What did he see?
I have no idea. That ending reminded me so much of the ending of Kiss Me Deadly from 1959. Just is it something demonic? Is it something paranormal? Just
Was there nothing?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, so if we go along with like the sort of like loose Greek mythology interpretation, I guess it could be like the fire or something to bring to humanity, but we still don't like know exactly what it is. Maybe some sort of like fire, like a metaphorical fire. Or if it was like, say, all in his head, you know, like, I don't know, whatever he's imagining perhaps, or it's just, you know, I don't know. I guess that's the problem. It's very Lovecraftian in that way, I guess.
That's the thing, is like, it's hard to depict indescribable horror because the point of film is to describe stuff in the most case.
And you can't, if you can't describe it, you can't describe it. Like,
yeah, but
yeah, that was what I thought. Like, I just, because I went into the whole thing like in a Lovecraft kind of headspace. I was just thinking like, this is, we finally got to see something that's like so insane nobody can describe it, so it just kind of happens.
Did he
that's
see
what
Cthulhu?
I thought was cool. He saw Cthulhu. No, he just opened and saw more mermaid titties.
Like, can't handle this anymore. Thing,
I just don't understand like how he ended up with his intestines out.
Reasons?
That's what confused me a little bit.
And like naked. I was
yeah, that struck me as just them going, well, it's there for the Prometheus imagery, but how it got there.
Well, I don't know. Like, I kind of thought that, like, maybe it's just, like, it was, like, the last of him going crazy and, like, maybe tearing off his clothes. Like, we don't see any of it, but, like, mm-hmm. You know, my theory is he just kind of went crazy and then just kind of died starving and the animals got to his intestines or something.
He was still alive when they were eating him, so.
That's right, yeah. Ugh. Oh, like, and the imagery on his face was terrifying, too. Like, that's what kind of got me a little bit, was, like, not just the fact that they're eating from him, but, like, his face was, like, his eyes were, like, pecked out.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the more unsettling endings I've seen in a while, for sure.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to have that freaking sea shanty song stuck in my head.
Yeah, all the people behind me just started burst out laughing when the sea shanty started. So I was like, I didn't find that funny. I was just like, what just happened?
They'd been driven mad.
Yep.
They looked into the light, too.
Oh, no.